Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A grant made possible by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is meant to develop bovine genetics optimized with traits desirable to smallholder dairy farmers. Accelligen is a recognized global leader in the development, deployment, and commercialization of precision animal breeding technologies. They're launching a program for precision crossbreeding of African dairy production systems. Tad Sonstegard is Accelligen's CEO, and he's joining us today with more. Dr. Sonstegard, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Lori. Thank you.
This is part of our Innovation Hour, where we really look at some of these cutting-edge things in research and science and today ag tech that's changing the world right now. And I want to start with a little bit about Accelligen and some of the forces that are pushing this technology forward for your company as we talk about animal welfare concerns and climate change concerns and what's happening in the world. It's all kind of, coming together in the work that you do. Introduce us to your company a little bit, and then we'll talk specifically about these bovine genetics and help listeners kind of understand what's happening there. But the big picture first, please.
Yeah, sure. So Accelligen is a wholly owned subsidiary of a company called Recombinetics. Recombinetics is a company that was founded in 2008, and it's really a technology platform company that its goal is to use the different gene editing tools to make changes to animal genomes. And so Accelligen, as the food animal subsidiary of Recombinetics, our goal is to bring genetic improvement to changes in the genome through the use of precision breeding, which is driven by this new technology of gene editing.
All right. Give us an idea of, we've been learning a lot about, this summer during the pandemic of how gene editing is working with the cattle in South Dakota for research for convalescent plasma. This is a different branch, but we have a little bit of a foundation here to understand what's happening. What are some of the goals of this grant and this next project?
Sure. So since 2012, we've been using gene editing tools and applying them to deploy usually single traits in animals. And we've made a number of proof of concept animals that have enhanced muscling when the base genetics doesn't muscle very well. We have a trait where we can adapt an animal to heat stress, where an animal normally is not adapted to tropical heat. We can pull an animal when it's horned. And there's many, many other traits that are coming along. And many of those are focused on disease resistance. So what we're doing in this effort to for changing African dairy production systems is basically trying to reboot genetic progress in Africa. So if you didn't know, the average yield of a dairy animal in sub-Saharan Africa is about 1/6 or 1/8 of that of an animal in the United States. So how did we get so far ahead in production? It's because through years and years of selection for milk production, we've created these animals that have just tremendous genetic ability to produce milk. But they also require a high-end management, and that progress continues now with the use of something called genome selection. So we could just introduce those animals into sub-Saharan Africa, and there are groups that do that, but typically the animals, our germplasm that we bring over there is not adapted to tropical heat or the diseases that are there. So what we're doing in this project is, through the use of gene editing, we're trying to shortcut generations of crossbreeding that would be needed to bring those traits into elite animals and do it through gene editing across a number of traits. So we're not just going after one trait, let's say heat tolerance, but we're also trying to add disease resistance. And then we have another breed of animals that derives from India that's very popular in Brazil called Jir cattle. We're trying to improve production, milk production of those animals because it's still well below dairy production of a typical Holstein or Jersey from the United States. And then together, when you cross those animals would be very fit for a sub-Saharan dairy production system that's run by smallholders.
So let's talk about those producers now. Who does this help? Who does this help? And I know that's a bigger question, but let's start with the obvious answer.
Right. So in cattle, the majority of animals are actually in tropical zones, and most of those animals are very unproductive. And I know there's a lot of media out there about how cattle produce the most greenhouse gas and are part of the problem of global warming. So what we're hoping we're trying to do is replacing these animals that are very inefficient and producing a lot of greenhouse gases and not very much animal protein. And usually these are indigenous animals to the region, so they've not been under selection, to try and replace those animals for smallholders. And not only does the planet win by there being less stress on natural resources, but the smallholder wins. And so what is a smallholder? That's just typically somebody who has anywhere between 1 to 10 animals. And they use that for subsistence farming, and they also use it for bartering. And so if they're able to produce more milk from an animal, they can have less animals, and they don't have to rely on increasing herd size to produce the same amount of milk. And so those are the types of producers that we're trying to change their outlook from an economic perspective and also from a subsistence perspective.
Yeah. I want to talk about the regional connection between this because this is a global project, but also with the South Dakota, Minnesota, and other Midwestern
Sure.
states. Talk about who's all involved in this operation, and then how does it end up helping people, halfway around the world or in the Southern Hemisphere, for example? How vast is the network of partnership and collaboration for this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So our company is based in Minnesota, so we're very close by to South Dakota, but we also are partnered with Transova Genetics. Transova Genetics is a company that's very well known in the cattle industry for providing advanced reproductive methods and techniques. And one of the things that we need to do when we're doing gene editing in our cattle, the way we deploy these traits is in cells in a dish. And then those cells actually have to be cloned. And that's something that Transova Genetics has a lot of expertise in. And so we're partnering with them because they have some advanced methods for making those cells from embryos, and that makes it much easier, we believe, to edit such a type of cell and then produce a healthy clone of that cell. We have another advanced reproductive technology partner in Argentina, and the reason that we're partnering with them is because they're in close proximity to where the Jir cattle are in Brazil.
Sure.
And that way, we can produce those tropically adapted cattle there, the temperate cattle here that will be tropically adapted. And then eventually, both places will produce embryos that will be taken into sub-Saharan Africa.
Talk about this grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and how it sort of leverages this project. Does it make it go, is it getting it off the ground? Is it making it go more quickly? Is it, how has the grant changed the conversation about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate to receive that funding, and I think the program officer who is in charge of this proposal comes from the dairy industry and also other livestock industries, and he sees the potential of this technology as having a big impact globally. But in this case, what we're doing is we're combining this advanced use of stem cells and also what we call multiplex gene editing, which means we're editing more than one target at a time. And that this is really the next step in how this technology will be used. And so without the funding, it would be much more difficult to advance these technologies together and partner with these groups to make animals that will translate into products that smallholders will use. So that's really the key part of what this funding is allowing us to advance the technology and its application.
Let's jump down the road a little bit. You know, what does this look like
Sure.
as the work that you're doing now? What does it look like 10 years from now? You know, 20 years from now? We think about you know, some of these things in short-term urgent needs, and others in long-term you know, ways. Look ahead for a little bit and tell me, what's the potential of a project like this down the road?
I think we're going to have the ability to adapt our animals to whatever environment that the human population that those animals are supporting are located in. And so we'll be able to address things like climate change. Vaccines and antibiotics should be less used on our animals in management practices, because we'll have decoded through all the genome sequencing and studies that we've done on genetic variation what those variants are that confer resistance against some of these diseases, and then be able to bring those into our populations to protect them through gene editing. So African swine fever would be a perfect example. In China, they're going through a pandemic right now of African swine fever. They also are continually plagued by foot and mouth disease, and also PERS, porcine respiratory syndrome. So in essence, we could have, I guess, what you would call super pigs, and they would be resistant to all of these diseases. And we could continue on with our production practices without taking up so much land. But our pigs would be healthy and happy and disease-free.
And let's talk about the consumer. At some point, you know, consumers have questions about, and, you know, we touched on this a little bit before, people are trying to make choices aligned with their values. They have, you know, questions. Producers are trying to figure out those same things and also look at profitability. How does this all converge for you when you have conversations about what's in it for the consumer?
Sure. So I think a lot of consumers like to make choices based upon branding. And I think they want to make those choices, especially when it comes to animal, in a guilt-free way. And so we've seen the emergence of a lot of new types of products, alternative meat products that have come out. But I think the questions you have to ask around those is, there's still maybe concerns about nutrition from those products. Are they really more sustainable? And are there still animal products involved in making those? So are they really changing the landscape as far as our use of animals? I think humankind has been very linked to the use of animals throughout our history. And so we need to continue to strive for them to be as healthy and have the best well-being possible as we produce from them. But it's, animal protein is an important part of our diets that can't be avoided. And I think the use of this technology is really going to help. I think the consumers will accept this technology for the way that it's being applied to improve animal production.
How rapid is the science of precision gene editing advancing? Are you seeing, you know, in this field, great leaps forward? Tell me a little bit about how quickly the science and research is moving.
Yeah, so gene editing, I think what many of the researchers in the field would feel is the holy grail is the application of it to solving human genetic diseases or curing cancer. So in order to apply gene editing technology in the human genome, and this is post-birth, so this would be somatic cell applications for biomedical. I think it has to be very precise. So that means that the scientists are working very hard to make sure that everything works perfectly. And then we, as users of the technology, get to benefit from those very detailed studies. I mean, there's tens of thousands of papers now on the use of these tools. And we're applying that technology for genetic improvement in the germline of these animals in order to make better animals for a better planet. So things change rapidly, and there's always new tools coming along and new ways to make those tools work better.
Dr. Tad Sonstegard is Acceligen's CEO, and thank you, Tad, for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time and your insight into this science.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.